When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
I can't remember where I first heard this expression, but I've heard it repeated from a lot of different people in cartooning over my time in the industry. My time in making comics and associating myself with people who also make comics. How's that? That words do matter, but sometimes it feels like, to be precise, you have to spend a lot of time to get there. But the expression ran as follows. Each step you add to making a piece of art, at least this is in reference to comics, removes 10% of the energy from the drawing. In other words, you have like this really energetic, dynamic looking thumbnail, but it's anatomically implausible or incorrect. Maybe the composition isn't super awesome, but because you jotted it out quickly and hopefully you were in that, wonderful creative flow state when you threw it down there, there's a vibrant kind of feeling in the drawing. There's like this loose energy in there that, at least I've experienced this. My wife has commented over the years. The first time I remember her saying it was like as early as 2002. I was thumbnailing that miniseries for Antarctic Press, PPV, and we got the book. I got my copies in the mail of the printed book and flipping through it. And she's like, why is it that your finished work always looks like a little bit drier and deader than your thumbnails do? Like, why can't you preserve that? And it was like, at the time, it was like totally heartbreaking, right? I'm like, yeah, you're right. I can't. And that's when I started hearing that expression get kicked around. Like, so like when you start with the thumbnail, you pencil it. So you're redrawing the drawing and trying to recapture that energy. But now you're trying to make it anatomically right. And maybe you're tweaking the composition a little bit. All right, you got that part done. Now it's time to ink it. Well, now I'm worrying about my line value and making sure that this thing is legible and clear. Am I working in my atmospheric perspective? And in that step, you can make it a little bit more rigid. And then now I'm going to lay on my colors or tones and whatever. So that's what all that means, is that with each step you can, as you make the image more legible, sometimes you ossify it or desiccate it. You suck some of the juice out of the drawing. You'll know it when it happens, right? Like I said, I didn't have a name for it when it was happening to me, or it still happens to me. But if you've done any kind of drawings with like any kind of chunking or procedure involved, you've probably seen that happen at some point or another. If you haven't, bravo, congratulations. And you officially are a target of my envy. Why am I even bringing this up? So I'm just sort of checking in on some further results of this production on this book I'm working on, this 40-page comic. I'm in the home stretch. I don't have that much farther to go, and hopefully I will be done within a week. If I work really hard, that will happen. But in an earlier Thunder Punch Daily, I chronicled how a couple friends noticed that my loose pencils, or what I called my rough pencils, were tight enough to go straight to inks with. And I thought, surely not. Surely it needs another round to crispen everything up and make it absolutely, like, make sure the pencils are rock solid, like as good as I can make them. So when I'm inking, all I have to worry about is the line value and, like I was saying, that atmospheric perspective and so forth. But I took it as a challenge, and the last, I don't know how many pages I've inked right off of my rough pencils. And today I noticed a unique benefit of that I hadn't anticipated, is that I think the energy and fluidity of some of the poses and some of the lines are being preserved. Some of that juice is staying there because I've removed a step. I've gone straight from roughs to inks. Therefore, I did a running pose today that I'm really happy with. Like, there's a lot of things that I look at the page, I'm like, well, that's good enough. I've got to keep moving. More on that in a second. But there was one running pose where I'm like, I got this funny little, it was a weird little nostalgic thrill of like, I felt like I was looking at a drawing in a comic like when I was a kid. if that makes sense. Like, I remember poring over superhero comics as a kid, wondering, how do they do it? How do they make it look like the characters are moving? And I'm looking at this drawing that I did, and I got that same little feeling, that same little thrill. That's a rare thing, and that's a wonderful thing when it happens. That's one of those things, like I was saying before, like when I had that experience with that student who brought my comic to class. I'm going to hang on to that. I'm going to hang on to that for a while. Because they are few and far between. There's a lot of grinding that happens in between. But, you know, that's the price of making things that are valuable to you. Where was I going with that? Moving on and not monkeying with things too much. One downside. So I broke the 4-hour mark with these pages, right? So I'm clocking in at or just under 4 hours per page, which is just screaming fast for me, which is very reassuring given the tight deadline I'm facing. But in order to keep under that, I've noticed another piece of the process that I normally like to engage with is monkeying with internal panel compositions. I'm importing my thumbnails into Clip Studio Paint and then doing rough pencils right over top of them. And I'm fixing anatomy. I'm fixing some minor compositional issues, but I'm fixing certain details that I just didn't get right. Right. Like, oh wait, this person has an eyebrow ring, that kind of thing. But I'm getting, there's some panels where I'm like, composition's not perfect. It's good. It's okay. Let's say it's okay. It's acceptable. But it's not quite as good as I would like to redraw certain aspects. It's no time. You're trying to keep that under that 4-hour mark. So one could argue, well, but you removed that step, so you bought that time to monkey with the composition. Well, yes, I suppose you could argue that. But also, I want to get this book shipped in the next week, so I don't have that time. So I guess I would chalk that one or file that one under trying to keep this blazing speed going. Means that I'm not only sacrificing a step that was arguably redundant in terms of the second round of pencils, but I'm removing a step that I do think actually probably is a necessary step overall. Like, if I see something egregiously wrong, I'm going to fix it. But there's just like some parts where I'm just like, oh, that feels a little bit weird that it's on that side. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine. That I guess is a lot of, in my experience in making comics, maybe this has something to do with what my status as a cartoonist is. I feel like there's a lot of it that's us saying like, it's fine. It's fine. Just get it out the door, right? The art's just abandoned, whatever. I also remember hearing, I forget who said this one too, man, attribution is important too, and I should really do better in looking up these things. I should stop recording, look up who said it, or try to do my best to establish provenance and then resume recording. But here's another thing. I don't have that much time to do these every day. That's another deadline I'm up against. So I'll just say it was somebody prominent in the field of cartooning who said suggested that every comics page, you have one panel to fuss over. And then the rest of them are just like journeyman panels just to get the story told. Right. And finally, and I've been going long, but I want, and speaking of attribution, I do want to point at and thank somebody who's been participating in there at Sound Off Challenge, Owen Jolens, who you can find at owenjolens.com. That's JOLLANDS.com. He did an entry, his number 6 entry for Art Sound Off titled A Man with a Plan. He did this really wonderful thing where he took his experience in pursuing strength training at a gym and like the procedure to do it properly, right? Because like as somebody who's never done or hasn't done strength training since he was a kid, like when I was in high school, I just assumed like, okay, I'm going to work my biceps for 20 minutes. I'm going to work my thighs for 20 minutes. I'm going to work my lats and my glutes for 20 minutes each and then I'm done, right? And he talks about this kind of lifting that you do where you're moving more of your body in sync with each other, like in tandem or in cooperation. I forget the exact term that he uses in the description. Anyway, and he compared it favorably to some advice that I use in my classrooms and on my podcasts, which is, you know, if you want to get better at comics, just make lots of mini comics. And I've always framed it up as it's a discrete single event. So you're going through the creative journey of you know, to quote Kazuki Kibuishi, hey, attribution, it matters. You know, the artistic process is, this is going to be awesome, this is hard, this is terrible, I'm terrible, hey, not so bad, oh, that was awesome. Well, when you do it in an 8-page mini comic, you can go through that vicious cycle in, you know, an afternoon or a couple afternoons. Whereas if you try to do it with a graphic novel first time out, you're going to go through that cycle a lot of times, and there's no clear exit sometimes, at least in my experience. It's something that it works really well for my classroom experiences, because then you've got something, an artifact of your effort that you get to hold in your hands, right? If you start a graphic novel, maybe you've got 30 pages into it of this 500 page epic that you want to do, it's harder to stand there and hold up an artifact and say, like, look, I finished, right? It's a longer wait for that moment. But Owen made the comparison. I'm sure I explored it in some way or another, but never in this way. And I'm so grateful to him for providing this extra context, is that it's doing that cooperative muscle work together. You're working your glutes and your thighs and your biceps all at the same time, because you're engaging with so many different aspects of visual storytelling all at once. And getting those muscles used to working together. And yes, maybe your biceps aren't as awesome as your thighs in some parts of the book, but then now you know what to isolate and start to work on individually. Owen said it way better than me, so go to owenjolins.com, check out his Art Sound Off entry number 6. Super awesome extra contextualization for why doing mini comics is such a... For me, in my opinion, it is an invaluable tool in leveling up your skill as a cartoonist. And then to kind of jump on something Leonard Angelo was talking about, one of his Art Sound Offs, is it becomes a practice that is not an invisible product. Because if the mini comic that you make is any good, and it will be, you're going to make ones that are actually like reasonable. And if you want evidence of this, you could do a search for The Black Hole Equation, Jerzy Drozd. I posted a whole mess of mini comics I made under that title in 1995. And they're not that great. I didn't know what I was doing. I was basically practicing in public without knowing that that was what I was doing, right? I thought I was making comics, but I was learning how to make comics while making these little 8-page mini comics. But yeah, it has that added benefit of now you've got not only an artifact to remind yourself that you made a thing, but also you have something that potentially could be something that you could engage in trade with. I mean trade in the broadest sense, not just selling, but also now you've got a business card you can leave on somebody's table. Because this is another thing that I've kind of been hammering on over the last couple of years, is I get business cards from people at comic conventions and it's got this wonderful art on it. That's all I know. I know that they draw nice things. I don't know anything about what kind of visual storytelling style they do. What genre do they work in? Let's face it. Look at Akira Toriyama, or not Akira Toriyama, Osamu Tezuka. Very cute cartoony style. Dealt with some heavy duty stuff. Read Dororo, you know, read the Buddha. Pretty intense stuff in those books, right? So like, there's extra context that's added when you actually have like a mini comic artifact. Oh, I've been going way too long. And see, this is what happens when I get started talking about mini comics. I think they're really, really wonderful. And I think that they are a very flexible format. You can do a lot of really cool stuff with it. And another word that Owen attributed to my line of advice was making them ambitiously. I don't remember saying that, but I'm gonna take credit for it, because I think that's great. I think, yes, making mini comics with some kind of ambition behind it. It means that you're going to stumble and fall, which is good, because that means that you're going to identify the weak spots and the places where you can improve. And the next mini comic you make will be better, and it'll be an even better looking artifact that you can engage and trade with, or show yourself that there is some growth happening. So, okay, I'm out. I got to go. Artsoundoff.com is the name of this project, this thing, this art challenge that me and a bunch of other cartoonists have been participating in, where we check in throughout the month of November with an audio accompaniment to the work that we're doing. And I've been Jerzy Drozd of jdrozd.com, boulderandfleet.com, Jerzy on Twitter, Jerzy Drozd on Instagram. I'm even on that Mastodon thing, if anybody's been checking that out. I know Steve Lieber made some noise about it a couple weeks back. And I was like, well, better get my username there. I'm on the Comic Space instance of Mastodon, and if you want to know more about that, you can message me on one of the other platforms and I can point you to it. Actually, I'll just link to it in the show notes. So, okay, I'll be back tomorrow with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember, everybody.
You've all seen how Orko's magical tricks don't always go the way he planned. Sometimes they backfire on him. The same thing is true of practical jokes. Sometimes they don't go the way you planned, and you or someone else can get hurt. So be sure and think twice before playing a joke or a trick on anybody. Might not go the way you planned, and someone could wind up losing a finger or an arm or maybe even an eye. And no joke is worth that, is it? See you again soon.